People think accounting is quiet. They think it's spreadsheets and soft voices and people who go home on time. They think nothing dramatic happens behind closed doors where the numbers live. I believed that too at first. I thought danger wore louder clothes. I thought power announced itself. I didn't understand that the people who touch the money don't need to raise their voices. They just need to be believed. The married couple ran payroll, benefits, expense approvals, corrections, adjustments, anything that needed to move quietly from one column to another passed through their hands. They spoke in calm sentences. They smiled like they had nothing to hide. And because most people are afraid of numbers, because most people don't want to look stupid, no one challenged them. Questions died before they left mouths. Doubt got swallowed by jargon. By the time money went missing, we had already learned how to stay quiet. By the time alarms started ringing, we had already been trained not to hear them. And when the truth finally surfaced, it wasn't because someone was brave. It was because something broke so loudly it couldn't be smoothed over. That's when everyone suddenly remembered how to speak. Too late to pretend we hadn't known something was wrong all along. I joined the company during a period of aggressive growth, the kind that gets praised in boardrooms and feared in hallways. New hires every month. Departments reorganized before you learned names. Titles inflated to keep people loyal. It was exciting in the way instability can feel exciting when you don't yet understand the cost. I was brought in on the operations side, close enough to see patterns, but not close enough to touch the vault. Accounting sat on a different floor, literally and socially. They weren't loud, they weren't charismatic, they didn't attend happy hours unless required, they didn't compete for attention. They didn't have to. Their authority lived in access, not visibility. If you needed a correction, a reimbursement, a clarification, you went through them. If they said no, it was final. If they said wait, you waited. The married couple had been there forever. That's how people described them. Forever. As if longevity itself were proof of integrity. He handled payroll and systems. She managed reporting and compliance. They spoke with one voice, even when only one of them was in the room. Decisions made by one were defended by the other without hesitation. There was no daylight between them, professionally or personally. They were polite in that precise way that discourages follow-up. They never rushed you, but they also never invited you in. Questions were answered thoroughly enough to end the conversation. Explanations came wrapped in terminology that made you feel foolish for asking in the first place. People joked about not wanting to upset accounting. People laughed when reimbursements took too long, like it was a weather issue instead of a human one. I noticed small things early. Expense reports delayed without explanation. Corrections that took weeks when they should have taken days. Numbers that didn't align across departments but were waved off as timing issues. Accruals. Adjustments. End of quarter noise. Every concern had a technical answer. Every anomaly had a reason that sounded reasonable enough if you didn't know where to push. I didn't push. Not yet. I was still new, still learning who mattered, still observing how power moved. And power, I learned, didn't sit with the loudest people. It sat with the ones no one wanted to challenge, because challenging them meant exposing your own ignorance. It meant asking them to slow down. It meant asking them to explain. And no one wants to be the person who doesn't understand the math. The couple cultivated that fear without ever naming it. They didn't belittle. They didn't mock. They just spoke as if the rules were too complex to question, as if trust was implied by survival. They had seen people come and go. They would see this too. That was the message, whether they meant to send it or not. I watched managers back down mid-sentence when accounting replied. I watched meetings end once numbers were cited. I watched projects stall because a line item needed approval that never came. And I watched people accept it because the alternative was conflict with the people who signed the checks. There were rumors, of course, quiet ones, about their marriage being strategic, about them protecting each other, about mistakes that never seemed to land on their desks. But rumors need oxygen to live, and no one wanted to be the one to provide it. It felt safer to assume everything was fine. It usually does. The first real crack appeared during an audit preparation. Not an external audit yet, just internal cleanup before the books were shared upward. It was supposed to be routine, a sweep, a reconciliation, a tightening of loose ends. Instead, it exposed patterns that were hard to explain away without effort. There were discrepancies in vendor payments, small enough individually to be missed, large enough collectively to matter. Accounts that had been adjusted repeatedly without documentation, timing differences that kept shifting. When questions were raised, the answers came fast and confident. System migrations, legacy issues, human error already corrected. The language was smooth, the tone unbothered. I remember sitting in a room listening to explanations that felt rehearsed, not scripted exactly, but practiced, as if they had walked this path before. I remember the way the married couple glanced at each other when a question landed too close. Not panicked, calculating. A shared look that said, I've got this, or maybe we've got this. What unsettled me wasn't the numbers themselves. It was the lack of curiosity from everyone else. People accepted answers because accepting them meant the problem was solved. Digging deeper meant more work, more discomfort, more risk. And the couple made it clear, without ever stating it, that digging deeper would be unpleasant. When money went missing, it didn't vanish dramatically. There was no single moment, no alarm bell. It slipped out through 1,000 small permissions, an adjustment here, a delay there, an override justified by experience. It moved slowly enough to feel normal. It blended into the background noise of growth. I noticed because I started tracking patterns. Not formally, just mentally. A reimbursement approved for one department but denied for another without explanation. A bonus paid out twice. A correction reversed quietly weeks later. When I asked about it, I was told it had been handled. Already fixed, nothing to worry about. At some point, silence stopped feeling neutral. It started feeling like participation. Every time I let an explanation stand without asking a follow-up, I felt it. Every time I chose not to escalate because I didn't want to look difficult, I felt it. Complicity doesn't arrive all at once. It accumulates. The married couple grew bolder as pressure increased. Not careless, confident. They corrected people publicly when numbers were misunderstood. They pushed back harder. They reminded leadership how fragile compliance could be if accounting was undermined. They framed questions as threats to stability, and leadership listened because instability scared them more than missing money they couldn't yet see. When the external audit finally came, the tone shifted. Not panic, tension. Requests that used to take days now took weeks. Documents arrived incomplete. Clarifications led to more questions instead of answers. The auditors weren't afraid of numbers. They weren't afraid of looking ignorant. They asked anyway. I watched the couple work harder than I had ever seen them work. Late nights, closed-door meetings, emails sent at odd hours. They were still calm, but the calm felt stretched thin. The unity between them tightened, like a knot pulled too far. When the findings landed, they were careful. Auditors always are. Language softened, probabilities instead of accusations. But the gaps were undeniable. Money unaccounted for, controls bypassed, approvals concentrated in too few hands. Suddenly, what had been invisible became visible because someone with authority named it. That's when everyone remembered how to speak. Managers who had stayed quiet now demanded answers. Executives who had deferred now pressed. People who had joked about accounting now whispered about betrayal. And through it all, the married couple maintained their composure. They denied wrongdoing. They cited misunderstandings. They blamed systems. They blamed growth. I spoke up then, not dramatically, not heroically. I shared what I had seen, patterns, delays, dismissals. I didn't accuse, I described. My voice shook anyway. Because even then, even with evidence on the table, speaking felt dangerous. The fallout was quieter than I expected. No handcuffs, no public firings, just departures announced with careful language, resignations, mutual decisions, transitions. The married couple left together, their access revoked, their names removed from distribution lists, their offices cleared by someone else. Money didn't come back. Not all of it. Some losses were written off as the cost of doing business. Some gaps were attributed to poor controls rather than malice. Accountability diluted by process, responsibility spread thin enough to disappear. Leadership promised changes, separation of duties, oversight, transparency. And some of it happened. New systems, new approvals, new people. But the damage lingered in subtler ways. Trust didn't snap back into place. It sagged. People became cautious, not just with money, but with each other. Questions were asked more often, but so were accusations. The fear shifted from numbers to blame. I felt it in meetings, in emails, in the way people guarded themselves. As for me, I carried the residue. The knowledge that I had seen warning signs and waited, the understanding that silence had felt safer until it wasn't. I learned that control doesn't need aggression. It just needs deference. I learned that couples who move as one can shield each other until the shield cracks. The workplace moved on. It always does. New stories replace the old one. But sometimes when I look at a spreadsheet, when I hear someone say it's too complicated to explain, I feel it again. That tightening, that quiet alarm. Because I know now how easily narratives are controlled by the people who manage the numbers. And I know how quickly everyone remembers how to speak only after the damage is done.